You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
They seem to be business friendly.
Business friendly environment.
We have a much more business friendly administration.
Business friendly is, I don't know, I never thought about that.
When politicians and pundits use that phrase business friendly, just what do they mean? Over the next few Mondays, we've lined up a series of conversation that digs into this question. Today, we look at small business versus big corporations. Does the definition of business friendly depend on the size of your business, how many people you employ, how much revenue you bring in, for example? Our next guests agree. Michigan has made great strides over the last decade to be more business friendly. Rob Fowler, the CEO of the Small Business Association of Michigan, points to the lower business taxes and regulatory reforms that have helped. But Doug Rothwell, president and CEO of Business Leaders of Michigan, says despite these notable improvements, Michigan's reputation nationally still needs some work. Rob Fowler and Doug Rothwell joined me recently to discuss Michigan's business climate. And I started our conversation by asking Rothwell what Michigan could be doing to make our state even more business friendly.
Well, you know, look, business understands that you need to make some strategic investments to grow your company or your enterprise. I mean, you can't just cut your way to growth. And I think that, you know, we in Michigan for the last decade or so have had to really focus on getting our fiscal house in order because of where we started from, again, coming out of the Great Recession. That was absolutely necessary. But, you know, now we're at a point where the needs that we have are different than they were before. And I, you know, I would say that it's both talent and infrastructure are the two big issues that Michigan still has really not addressed as fully as it should. To solve the infrastructure issue, we're going to have to spend more money. We're going to have to raise taxes. I mean, I hate to say that as a, you know, as a business leader, but the reality is that we're going to have to do that. And the beauty of that is that also frees up resources to address some of our education and talent needs, because we know that in order to develop the talent that we're going to require in the future is going to be different, going to probably require more resources. And we can't keep, you know, using the funds that we do have to fix potholes when we need to be putting that into education and training. So those are, you know, to us at least, I think the two big areas that, you know, business would look to say, hey, we're really getting serious about long-term growth.
Rob Fowler.
Yeah. So let me go back, and I agree with Doug. And those would be the priorities for us too, infrastructure and education. But let me go back to the question the way you posed it, which is sort of this relationship between place, talent, and business. I've come to think of it this way. Place, communities need business, and business needs talent, and talent wants place. But I think what the disconnect is, if you ask business, you know, whether walkability or public transportation is important to them, most of the time they would say no. But if they knew that it was important to the talent that they want, you'd have their attention. I think the same is true all around that triangle, that there's a sort of misunderstanding. I think communities don't really understand what business needs. Very, very often that tools in the toolkit of an economic developer at a local community are not the kind of things that a small business who's already got, they're not a startup, they're just trying to grow their business. The tools in the toolbox don't tend to be the kind of things that growing businesses need. So part of the challenge for our state is to understand that those relationships between place, business, and talent. I think communities that sort of get that right are the ones that are prospering today. States who get that right are the ones who are prospering today. And in some ways, it comes back to what Doug just said about we have to invest in infrastructure, because that is part of Michigan as a state, as a place. But it probably is more than just better roads. It probably is really very much a 21st century infrastructure kind of system that includes public transit and you know, places where where people can walk and traffic can not be congested all at the same time. And those are tricky questions, but that's what talent wants. And the more that we understand about what talent wants and what they're drawn to, the more the business community is going to care about those things.
Let's talk priorities. We all know it was big news as we learned that Foxconn has done a 180 on its promise to hire thousands of blue-collar workers for a manufacturing facility that was set for Wisconsin. The state chipped in billions in tax incentives to get this Taiwan-based giant to come to Wisconsin. And now Foxconn's going, well, we can't build our liquid crystal display screens in Wisconsin. This is going to be a research and development facility. So those new jobs are not going to be the factory and production jobs we promised. And we all know Michigan tried very hard to get that plant here with some $3.5 billion in incentives, just like it tried very hard to win that Amazon second headquarters. And there was pushback from taxpayers about whether the cost of all of those incentives that we were offering to huge outside companies were worth it. So what do you think? Was it a blessing that Michigan missed out on Foxconn, missed out on Amazon? Doug, what do you think?
Look, you know, I think that this is one of those questions that you have to kind of answer this way, which is you can't put all your eggs in one basket. And, you know, certainly no one big project is going to, you know, meet or solve all of your economic development or economic growth needs. And so you have to be really careful about, you know, how much you're really willing to invest in any, you know, one investment like that. And that was, you know, those are the kind of investments, Foxconn, for example, that don't come along very often. And, you know, a lot of people at the time were questioning whether, in fact, that plan that they had was really ever going to come to fruition or not. But on the other hand, what you can't afford to do is to ignore those opportunities either. I mean, when, especially when you're a state like Michigan, I mean, let's face it, we, despite all the progress we've made in the last decade, we still rank about at the national average or less on the things that matter most in terms of our employment levels, our per capita income, our per capita GDP. The only way we're going to get to be one of the leading states in the country is by not only doing a better job of growing what we have, but we're also going to have to attract some new investment in some new sectors of the economy that we don't have as much of today. So, you know, what I would caution people to do is to say, yeah, you know, don't put too many eggs in, you know, these big Foxconn type, chases or contests, if you will. But at the same time, don't use that as an excuse not to play in that arena either, because you're going to need some of that investment if you're going to achieve your long-term goals.
But Rob, what about pumping some of those billions in incentives into smaller Michigan businesses?
So let me give you a couple terms that I think help with a sort of a metaphor here. And it's hunting and gardening. So trying to attract industry from outside of our state would be the hunting part of this. And we at the Small Business Association of Michigan are not opposed to hunting. But what we do think is we need to really be thinking a lot more about growing our own, about gardening and gardening strategies. And economic development professionals generally and and those who support them financially really have focused so much on bringing in the big investment from outside or even a series of small investments from outside. But over the long period of time, good economy or bad, jobs tend to come from existing companies growing. So we've been big proponents of this notion of gardening rather than hunting or gardening in addition to hunting. And I have to tell you, I talked to a couple of our members in West Michigan where Foxconn was looking at, and one of the places that they were looking, who said to me, I know it's not polite to say, I sure hope they don't come here, but I sure hope they don't come here. Because to them, in a tight labor market, adding that many jobs was certainly going to, if not make it difficult for them to attract, it certainly was going to raise the cost of, you know, labor, which, you know, on the whole is a good thing. Wages go up. But, you know, if you're competing for talent at the moment and you bring in, you know, a big company fish from outside, that really changes the workplace dynamic or the workforce dynamic.
We've been talking with business leaders and owners around the state and finding out what they think politicians mean when they use that term business friendly. And let's take a listen to what one small business owner had to say.
My name is Nathan Atkinson, owner here at Three Dog Bakery in downtown Plymouth. Been here about 8 years now. So I would say, yeah, when I hear politicians saying it, I think it's just wind, hot air most of the time. It's a talking point. In my experience, a lot of times they're not really doing stuff for small businesses. Like I said, they're going to do stuff for corporates and they're going to do something for, you know, big lobby groups. But the small person, we're not really necessarily on the top of their list, so to speak.
Rob Fowler, do you feel small businesses feel left out when they hear politicians talk about making Michigan business friendly?
Well, let me say it this way. I certainly understand that sentiment because I think there's a tendency to think, mostly because there's evidence of it, that big companies get their way and small businesses get ignored. I think we're solving that, if you will. We're working against that narrative. I think we get good attention from policymakers when we have a chance to talk to them. I think there's great sort of public sympathy, if you will, for small business. I think that translates into influence in the public policy arena. I think most small business owners don't know how influential they could be if they just talk to their legislators. So I guess my encouragement to people who feel like they're sort of left out is to lean in. Talk to your policymakers. You'd be surprised how much influence you actually have.
I'm speaking with Rob Fowler, CEO of the Small Business Association of Michigan, and Doug Rothwell, President and CEO of Business Leaders of Michigan, which is made up of the chairpersons, CEOs, or the most senior executives of Michigan's biggest job providers and universities. Let's circle back to something, Doug, you touched on, and you said, I'm going to quote you here. I hate to say this, we're going to have to raise taxes. You know, we depend on taxes to support infrastructure and education, all these things businesses value. But it's clear our state is starved for money. That recent study that came out from Michigan State University even finds Michigan ranks dead last of the 50 states in school funding growth. Have taxes for businesses been cut too much?
No, I think that business, you know, pays absolutely their fair share. And I think business has said, at least for my organization has, for infrastructure, that we're willing to pay our fair share there as well. We think that the user fees are the way to go to fund our infrastructure. And if we were to raise them sufficiently to meet the needs that both the Governor's Infrastructure Commission and our own organization said over the last couple of years is needed, that actually would free up money in the state budget that you could put towards education, talent, and training needs that are currently being used to, you know, essentially fill potholes, because we're not having our transportation user fees at the level that they should be. So, you know, I don't think we agree that there ought to be, you know, general tax increases across the board. But certainly if you were to, you know, increase user fees for infrastructure, that to us at least is going to help you solve really two different needs that are critical for our state.
Entrepreneur Doug Song made some very, very big headlines recently when he sold his Ann Arbor-based company Duo Security to Cisco for $2 billion. Let's take a listen to what he had to say on what business-friendly does not mean.
My name is Doug Song. I'm CEO of Duo Security. I don't think business-friendly means less taxes. I think that's almost always the kind of thing you keep seeing and hearing. I think businesses are happy to pay taxes in order to support the kind of environment that supports their growth.
Rob, what responsibility do businesses have to do that, to pay taxes to support those public goods and services people want, including business?
So I would say my reaction to this question is does business pay its fair share? Is what's a fair share? You know, I mean, if you want to totally ignore this question about competitiveness, that is, they're not going to be as successful if they can't compete because the burden the state has put on them makes them less competitive. Then businesses don't vote. That's a prescription for just layering it on to the business community. But that's not the way it works. I mean, the way it works is, and I would say Exhibit A is Michigan's current economy, which is flourishing, mostly because our businesses have been able to compete. And I think the wind in the sails of small businesses today has been this sort of re-engineering of Michigan's business climate. It's exactly what we believe. If you get that part of it right, they will succeed and a lot of other good things will happen. Employment goes up. Poverty goes down. Wages go up. There's a lot of things going in the right direction now. And so now if you want to just have this conversation, is business paying its fair share? Well, who gets to decide that and what is the context of the question? Because, you know, a good policy discussion might yield that business is still paying too much and that we ought to try to draw revenue from our sort of our population and make sure that the engine of jobs and the engine of wealth creation is taken care of. This question always concerns me a little bit because it usually comes from the mouth of people who want to argue that business isn't paying its fair share, and it's the precursor to a let's stick business without understanding the impact of that on the economy.
All right, we're going to final question, kind of thinking of a teeter totter here. Do you see a way to balance the needs of both small business and big business in Michigan? And I'm going to let you start with that, Doug.
Absolutely. And I think that we are doing so in Michigan today. I mean, I think Rob said it very well earlier in terms of this focus on, you know, hunting versus gardening, and also the issue of, you know, what corporations need and small businesses need. We all need a healthy business climate. And I think the actions that we've taken to get our costs in line, our regulatory system working better, have benefited everyone. So I don't think it needs to be an either or. And I think it, you know, what Rob said about, you know, how maybe some folks would argue with, does business pay their fair share or not? The answer here is not to try to divide small and large business. We both are engines for the economy. The question is, what can we do to really accelerate the growth of both?
Well, and I agree. I think there's a tendency to think that we are not on the same page, but that's not true. It's actually kind of rare that a policy issue comes along where big business and small business really go in different directions. And I think there are those who sort of assume maybe that we don't see eye to eye, or that we're And that isn't true. I think there's this sort of among the culture, you will see people say corporation, and they don't mean that to be a compliment. I worry a little bit, frankly, about our culture who wants to demonize business. And they usually mean big corporations when they say that. But the whole idea of sort of demonizing business hurts us all. And I think, you know, you're going to find small business, at least as an organization, the Small Business Association of Michigan, we're not giving voice to that kind of message, and we're certainly not – we kind of defend against it, because there are times when people say, oh, big business is bad, and what they would do about it is the sort of thing that would affect all business. So I think you're going to see unified voice, unified positions on these issues. You've heard it during the course of this interview that we're very much on the same page on education, infrastructure, business climate. I'm not sure that they affect us dramatically differently.
Rob Fowler, CEO of the Small Business Association of Michigan, and Doug Rothwell, President and CEO of Business Leaders of Michigan. Thank you so much for a great conversation.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.